definition that I came up with, a little bit of help, of the word envy, to feel uneasy or discontent with the excellence or success of others. To feel uneasy or discontent with the excellence or success of others. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment, and I want to be real practical tonight, okay? Because we're going to talk about envy, and it is related to the Easter story, and we're going to look at that too eventually, but it is related to the Easter story and the crucifixion. But if we're not careful, sometimes we mention words, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's everybody else's problem. That's not my problem. You know, okay, well, I hope he's speaking to somebody's heart, because that's, you know. Really, I want you to think about this. Can a Christian envy someone else? And as I looked this up, I didn't spend a lot of time on this, but I did look up, you know, envy and jealousy. And maybe humanly, in our English language, there's a lot of difference. But as best I can tell, biblically, looking at the Greek and the Hebrew, you know, they're very closely related. So they're almost synonymous, it appears, in the Bible. But now if you look up a dictionary in English today, you'll say, well, one is stronger than the other or whatever. But in the Bible, they seem to almost be synonymous. They're very closely linked, envy and jealousy. So we're talking about that idea. So first of all, do you think a Christian can have a sin of envy? Okay. Now, where does appreciation stop and envy start? For instance, what are some areas, we'll expand upon that in a moment, but what are some areas in church where we could be envious of someone else? Okay, someone pull up in a brand new pick-em-up truck, and you're like, wow. Now, I think, you know, there's a line there somewhere, okay? I mean, to look at their truck and say, that's a nice truck. Wow. And maybe even to say, well, I wish I had a truck like that, just kind of in passing. But now if I sit there and look at that truck, and I start getting a little bit upset, you know, I'm like, why couldn't I get that truck? You know, somewhere along the line, that line is crossed where it goes into sin and being truly envious. What about some other areas in church or people singing? Someone can get up and they get to sing beautifully, and you're sitting there, my goodness, I'm not so sure I could carry a tune in a suitcase or a tune in a bucket, as you say, and there's no way I could sing that pretty. Now, again, I think just saying, boy, that was a pretty song. Boy, I would, you know, just kind of generally, I wish I could sing like her. Or, boy, someday I'm going to sing like her in heaven. Now, I don't think anything's wrong with that, do you? But now, if you kind of dwell on it, it's kind of where you dwell on it. You cross that line, and you start like, my goodness, how come God gave her that voice and not me that voice? You know, I could have been a superstar, but you know what I mean? There's a line there that's crossed, right? What are some other areas in church that we can envy? Looks? You know, you can look, well, how come they got the looks? And it's nothing wrong, I believe, with recognizing the looks. You know, well, that's an attractive person or whatever, but when you dwell on it and start to get that attitude, I think it crosses over into envy and sin, okay? Now, what about people that teach? You know, some people teach. I mean, preachers can fall into this too, because you can listen to a lot of preachers and you're like, wow, I just wish I could preach like they. You know, what we really got to do is just be the best us that we can be. Be the best Connie that we can be, and Amy we can be, and Tim that we can be, and Steve that we can be. But, you know, we can look at people like that, and again, it's nothing wrong with saying, boy, that's quite a teacher, or that's quite a preacher. There's really nothing wrong with that, as long as we don't park on it and dwell on it, and it gets into that area of sin and longing and wanting. You know, you kind of feel uneasy about it. You feel discontent with what you have. Somewhere it crosses the line. So we can even be jealous of other churches, can't we? I mean, you know, we could be looking at churches and that have no problems at all, and they're filled up, and, you know, like, well, I wish we could. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I wish we could fill up our church. But now if I park on that and it becomes an attitude of my heart, that's where I think it crosses over into envy and jealousy. Okay, so we're going to be talking tonight about envy in particular. And the Bible has quite a bit to say about envy. And again, we're going to tie it in to the Easter story here eventually, okay? Now, do you remember we started last week looking at an Old Testament chapter, and we looked at an Old Testament character. Can anyone tell me who that was? Okay, I'll give you a hint. Starts with a D. Daniel. We started looking at Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, it's going to be very helpful tonight because, of course, on Wednesday night we don't have the monitors, we don't have the verses coming up. So we're going to be turning to a lot of verses, or I'm going to be relating a lot of verses probably tonight. Daniel chapter 6. Now, I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone here, okay? Because we're talking about, if I'm reading my Bible in Daniel chapter 6, that's my daily Bible reading for the day, let's say. And I'm reading Daniel chapter 6. I want to encourage you about looking at God's Word yourself. Now, there comes a point in our life we should not have to have someone, you know, apply this passage to my heart and life. I should be able to do that. I've been a Christian for how long? And, you know, we should be able to do that after we get just a wee little bit of maturity. And that's kind of the way we're looking at it. So we're going through like point by point, you know, or what, principle by principle. And last week, can anybody remember what we looked at? I'm not even going to ask yet. We talked about an excellent spirit, remember? And we're going to read verse 1, and then we'll go get into it a little bit and talk a little bit about, if I'm reading this passage of Scripture on my own, how should I be applying this, okay? Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1. It pleased Darius, that's the king of the Medo-Persian Empire. They conquered the Babylonian Empire, okay? And remember, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were carried from Israel over into Babylon, and then Babylon was conquered. But these are upper and inners because God has promoted them. Look, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So 120 princes over the whole kingdom. Over those, and over these, it says in verse 2, three presidents. Okay, so you got three presidents over 120. Says, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So can you picture the structure here? We got King Darius. We got three presidents, of whom Daniel is the first president. He's like the highest of the three presidents. And then 120 princes over the people, okay? And then it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So the king was impressed with Daniel, and the king even wanted to promote him even higher and more authority and more. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit. So I'm reading this passage of Scripture, okay? It shows up in my little devotion book, or this is where I'm supposed to be reading, if I'm reading my Bible through in a year, or whatever, okay? So let me encourage you what I do. In your quiet time, what we ought to do, first of all, we ought to pray to God. Okay, Lord, I'm about ready to read this passage of Scripture. And what should we pray? Lord, would you speak to my heart in this passage and give me understanding? So, because the Holy Spirit wrote this book, right? And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So before you start reading your passage, your quiet time for the day, you should say, Lord, would you speak to my heart today through this? Show me what you want me to show me. I mean, you can phrase it 1,000 different ways, but basically asking for God to help when I'm reading this, okay? And then we read it and we say, well, first of all, what does it say? I mean, if our mind is checked out, we don't even care what it says. We're just like reading words, right? So what does it say? Well, pretty much what I just told you. Excellent spirit should be popping out, right? So what does it say? But what does it mean? Well, what's an excellent spirit? Remember we made that little transition. We said, well, really, it's kind of like an attitude thing. You know, we ought to have a good attitude that other people enjoy being around. So what does it say? What does it mean? And then lastly, we should ask ourselves in our quiet time as we're reading this, remember, pray. What does it say? What does it mean? How can I apply it to my life? We ought to say, you know what? How can I apply it? Lord, how's my attitude? You know, so we're applying it, right? So does that make sense? So we're killing two birds with one stone. We're talking about how to really study our Bible on our own, but then we're going to look at the next principle, okay? So when we go to it, before we read our scripture for the day in our quiet time before God, and if you don't have a quiet time, you need to have a quiet time, You need to be spending time reading God's Word, studying God's Word, and praying. But the first thing you do when you go to Scripture, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, show me what you want me to show me, right? Pray to Him. And then you say, what does it say? What does it mean? How can I apply it to me? Okay? And then, to end my quiet time, which we're not done at the end of the sermon here, but in the quiet time, once God shows you, you know, like say, attitude, Lord. Okay, Lord, would you help me to have a good attitude? You just ask the Lord to help you apply that today. Or if it's something like, Lord, we read something about God's strength. Lord, help me to feel your power and strength in my heart today because I really need it. Or something along those lines. So you open in prayer and you close in prayer, even in your quiet time. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's what we looked at under excellent spirit. But as we read this story, we're going to come up on something else. Verse 4, okay? Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, if you paid attention to the opening, what we're going to talk about is this ugly sin called envy. Envy. You see, they were envious, jealous of Daniel. Because the king wanted to promote, even give him more authority. It says he was first over the president, so I'm not exactly sure what that means other than more authority. You know, he was already under the king, but give him more leeway, more authority, maybe to lighten the load of Darius the king even, perhaps. But guess what? There was 122 of them not happy about that. You had 120 princes and two other presidents, like, well, what can we do? And they decided that they were going to find some occasion against him concerning the kingdom. They're going to find some way to trip him up. This is nothing but envy. Envious. And let me tell you, again, we're going to be turning back and forth quite a bit, but can I tell you, this is serious. This is serious. Envy is a serious thing, and if we're not careful, now we as individuals can be jealous even in our families. I've tried to relate it to a church, but we could say, you know, well, I can't believe it. They got a nice house, and my house is nothing but, you know, they got a nice car. They got the better job than I did, and I tell you, in school, I did better than they did. You know, we could be jealous in our family. That can cause problem. There can be jealousy among siblings. There can be jealousy in at work. There can be envy. But I'm telling you, there's no room for that in the life of a Christian. Seriously. Now, we can look at them and say, well, you know, they got that. I'd like to have it. That's fine, but don't dwell on it. If you park on it, you're going to get yourself in trouble. These guys parked on it, okay? Not a pretty sight. Look what happens. You know, this is Daniel and the lion's den. We're going to go through this later and look at it some more, but turn over to verse 24. Look at how it ended for them. This is serious. Envy is a serious sin. It says, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Wow. This is serious. Now, did this just affect the person who was envious or jealous? No. It affected their whole family. And let me tell you, it can do the same in the life of a Christian. If we're jealous of somebody, you know, like, you know, we just kind of get that little tense and a little bit of anger in our heart when we see someone that gets ahead of us in some way. It can really affect our family in the negative sense. I'm not saying you're going to get thrown into a lion's den, but it happened here. This was serious. You're against God's man here, Daniel, and you're showing envy, which is very serious. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. If you want to turn there, Proverbs 14 and verse 30. Notice what it says, Proverbs 14 and verse 30. We're talking about the idea of envy, and we're talking about how serious it is. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm talking fast because I got a lot of ground to cover. Chapter 14 and verse 30. Listen to this. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. So it's great to have a good heart, right? But envy, notice this, the rottenness of the bones. Wow. The rottenness of the bones. You know, I'm not at least bit implying that anybody here has a problem with it, but I'm telling you, we can all fit into that category. You know, sometimes we can look as Christians at people that are worldly, right? And through the Psalms quite a bit. You know, the psalmist started out saying, Lord, I don't know why in the world you're blessing them and giving them all these things. I mean, we got people signing contracts to play sports for millions of dollars. And you say, we're barely, there's too much month at the end of my paycheck. You know, we're like, well, just keep in mind, God has it all under control. And if you park there and people that a lot of these politicians, you're like, they're lying through their teeth. They're not what they're, but look at them. They won election again, or they did that, or they did this. And if we're not careful, we'll get kind of envious and jealous of them. Not a good idea. It says, envy is the rottenness of the bones. I don't know, but I don't know exactly what it means by rottenness of the bones, but it sounds kind of icky, don't you think? Serious. It ended up, those 122 were killed and their families. Here it's called the rottenness of the bones. Turn over to Proverbs 27 and verse 4. Proverbs 27 and verse 4. Proverbs 27 and verse 4. It says, Proverbs 27 verse 4, it says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? So you know what it's saying is, envy is worse than anger or wrath. Wow. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've probably heard more sermons on, you know, having a quick temper and anger and wrath than you have envy. But this says envy's worse than them. I mean, envy can be inside of you and just kind of like steam up. It's like, And if we're not careful, it can happen. I don't suppose it's happening, but it can happen. And in church, how come they got that office and I didn't get that office? We're going to be putting in officers, you know, coming up for too long. In June, we put in our new officers. We do our annual business meeting first Sunday in June. And I, again, I've not sensed this at all, but, you know, if we're not careful, well, how come they ask him to be that officer, not me? And if we're not careful, it can turn into sin. It's serious. Worse than wrath and anger. Romans chapter 1. I promise I'll let you out by midnight, okay? Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 28. Now, I want you to kind of get the context of what's going on here. Now, we use these passages of scriptures talking about a reprobate mind. Those that God turned over to a reprobate mind. They have no conscience. They have no right sense of right or wrong. But notice what it says about this. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness. And notice this, full of envy. Not being content with where you are. Really, I think probably the opposite, and we could have taken that route if God led us that way. But the opposite of envy and jealousy is probably contentment. Contentment. You know, being content with where we are, being content with what we have, being content with the gifts that we have, being content with our ability to sing wherever it might be, being content with our ability to whatever, right? And it goes on, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisper. And they're grouped together. And it goes on. I'll stop right there. But the point is, it's serious. Envy and jealousy are very serious. James chapter 3. Just think about how this will help you find the books of the Bible. We ought to be doing sword drills each time. Okay, who can find James chapter 3, verse 14 first? The teenagers like to do that, you know. We might hurt somebody in our age group. So okay, James chapter 3, verse 14, it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't be proud of that. This wisdom descendeth not from above. This bitter envying that we can have is not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Can I tell you? I mean, you can't read that and say, boy, that envy's nothing very serious. Yeah, you can read that and say, whoa. Envy and jealousy, envy and being jealous are very serious. That was James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. James chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. So, talking about envy, very serious. Second point we're making, let's look at some examples of people that showed envy, okay? Of people that showed envy or jealousy toward. Of course, right here in Daniel, right? That's a really good example. But turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. Notice what it says about envy there. As soon as I find it. Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, and the patriarchs, you'll figure out who the patriarchs are speaking of right here, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. So that's Scripture even calls it just what it is. It's envy. Why did the brothers throw Joseph into the pit and sell him, that is, into slavery? Because they were envious or jealous of Joseph, right? Got them in a mess of trouble. If you look at the story of Joseph, those brothers were miserable because they had to live with a lie. And eventually it caught up with them. And then they had to bow down to their brother, that they didn't know it was his brother necessarily at that point, but you know what I mean. And they had to be under his authority as second in command in Egypt. Envy is very serious, and there's some good examples of envy and what it can cause. We're not going to turn there, but in Acts 13:45 and chapter 17, verse 5, it says the Jews were envious against Paul and his ministry. You know, Paul kept getting run out of city after city. Why was that? Because the Jews and the religious leaders and the people that did not accept Christ were jealous of Paul. They were envious of Paul and kicked him out of town. There's some examples as well. It specifically uses the word envy or envious, that idea. And then here's the one that really relates to this time of year. You say, why was Jesus crucified? And if you're looking at the big picture, we'd say, because God planned it that way. That's the reason he came. From the moment he came to this earth, he knew. Even before he came to this earth, he knew that that was the plan, right? But humanly speaking, why did the religious leaders crucify Jesus? Because they envied him. And I'm not sure I ever saw this, but it's actually stated specifically in Scripture. First of all, go to Matthew 27, verse 18. Matthew 27 and verse 18. Matthew 27 and verse 18. If you want to look up at verse 17 to get an idea of where we are. Matthew 27, 17. Remember at Passover they released one prisoner? And remember they chose Barabbas, who was a known criminal, and said, crucify Jesus. But look, it says, therefore, when they were gathered together, verse 17, Pilate said unto them, that's to the people, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for, what's that word? Envy, they had delivered him. Even Pilate, with all of his faults, saw that this is nothing but jealousy. The religious leaders were jealous of Jesus. Why? Because he had the crowds. Why? Because he had the authority, right? And they were threatened, and they're like, oh. You know, they were uneasy, uncomfortable. Remember the definition of envy? You know, they were not content with that. And they were afraid that their significance would be diminished because Jesus would be exalted. So they showed envy. Look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 9. Mark chapter 15 and verse 9. Again, this relates into this time of year, the crucifixion of Jesus that we observe and remember. It says, "But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy." So in a parallel account, the chief priests, the leaders, were envious of Jesus. And that's why, humanly speaking, it was all in God's plan, but that's why Jesus was crucified. Envy, it can be in the heart of even Christians, but it's very serious. There's several examples, and I'm sure these are the ones that specifically use the idea, the word envy, envious. But you know what? Envy ought to be in the life of a Christian. It ought to be history. It ought to be history. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. I'm amazed at how fast I'm making it through these. You didn't know I could talk that fast, did you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Notice what it says. Now this is interesting. This is to the Corinthian church. And I never can understand why anybody would ever name their church Corinthian Baptist Church. But they are some of those around. I know of two down in North Carolina. One of them's near where Ryan's at, and there's another one that we know of that's somewhat pretty close to it. Corinthian Baptist. Do you realize the Corinthian church was the most dysfunctional church in all of Scripture? Seriously. Remember, if this was Corinthian Baptist Church, we'd probably have one group in the back, in that corner, one in that corner, one here in this corner, one in this corner. I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Cephas. I mean, that's who we've, very dysfunctional. So I don't know why in the world, it's almost like, I'll just stop there. I don't know why they call it Corinthian Baptist Church, because that's not exactly a church we want to show. But he's writing to the Corinthian church, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" That should be what we used to be, not what we are. I'm telling you, this idea of being envious or jealous of other people, we got to be really careful. And again, I'm not implying at all. I don't know of anybody that's envious or jealous of someone else in church, but I don't know your heart. God does. And you know your heart. You just got to be careful. Very serious. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're looking at envy. It's serious. We looked at some examples in Scripture of envy, including the reason humanly or earthly that Jesus was taken to the cross was because of the envy of the leaders, chief priests and leaders. And now we're looking at the idea that really envy ought to be part of our past, not part of our present. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Let's back up there just a little bit. Let's look at verse 19. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings." Wow. Between heresies and murders is envyings. Woo, this is pretty serious stuff. This ought to be, he's listing this as works of the flesh. But do we have to let the flesh continue to dominate us or control us? How can we not let the flesh dominate us? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit living inside of us. As we every day we're pulled in two different directions, right? We got the Holy Spirit pulling us this way if we're a child of God, and we got the world, the flesh, and the devil pulling us this way. So that's a work of the flesh. So listening to the Spirit, we ought to be happy that we got people in church that are gifted in certain areas. We ought to say, praise the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm going to sing like that someday. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to sing that pretty. I'm glad that we got good teachers in our church. I'm glad that we got, whatever you want to say. I'm glad that we got officers in our church, people that are willing to take the office. And I'm glad for all these things. So don't let it, don't be envious. Don't let it get in there. It's called works of the flesh, and it gets into the fruit of the Spirit. That's the way we're supposed to be now. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, as it continues on. One more under it ought to be history, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Titus chapter 3. As Paul writes to Titus, listen to what he says. Chapter 3, verse 3. It says, for we ourselves also, notice the tense here. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and, there it is, envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So it's saying that's the way we used to be, or that's the way we should look at it. That's the way I used to be, but I'm not like that now. I'm not going to. You know, God made you just the way that He wants to make you. Amen. Seriously. Now, it's true that through our sin, sometimes we mess certain things up. And some of those things cannot be restored. You know, like sometimes people mess up so bad they're out of ministry. Permanently. Seriously. Some of these preachers that got back in ministry after a major fall should have never got back in ministry because they disqualified themselves from ministry. And there's certain things we can do to disqualify ourselves from being used in certain areas, but God can still use us. But God created you the way He wanted you to be. And guess what? If you can't sing, you just got something more to look forward to when you get to heaven. Or if you can't teach, guess what? You're going to have complete understanding someday when you're in heaven. Or whatever. You know, someday you say, well, I didn't get that what I wanted to do in church. I wanted to be that officer. And I didn't. Well, that's okay. Someday you'll be in heaven and everything will be good. Right? Everything will be perfect. It won't be anything to worry about. That ought to be history. But you know, also even beyond that, last point, number four, we looked at envy. It's serious. Second, we looked at some examples of envy and the bad results of that. We looked at it ought to be history and not present in our life. And the fourth thing, Scripture commands us not to be envious. Beyond all of this, Scripture tells us we should not have envy. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Proverbs 23, back to Proverbs 23, verse 17. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Notice what it says. It says, let not thine heart envy sinners. You don't be looking around saying, well, I wish I had their money. I wish I had, you know, if you get their money, you're probably going to get their problems. let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Serve the Lord. Don't worry about what other people's got and don't got. Romans 13, verse 13. Romans 13. I think one more reference after that, and I think we're done. Romans 13, verse 13. Romans 13, 13. We're looking at the command not to be envious. It was found in Proverbs. Do not envy sinners. Romans 13, verse 13. Notice what it says. Romans 13, 13. It says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Wow. Do you know, it's kind of like a team. A church is a lot like a team in a lot of ways. And, any team, and right now, basketball, March Madness and all that, you got scorers, you got ball handlers, you got rebounders. And, these teams, if we're going to be good teams, the shooter's not going to gripe at the rebounder for not being able to shoot. And the rebounder's not going to gripe at the shooter saying, well, you can't rebound. You're too short. You're a little shrimp. You know, and you could get in all kind of things. They're just happy that they're a team, and they got those different elements of the team. We ought to be happy that we got different elements of the team that are gifted different than we are, or more in certain areas than we are in certain areas. We ought to be, thank the Lord. I'm not going to be jealous of what they have, or the gifts they have, the talents they have, or even the material things that they have. I'm just thankful that they got them and they're here in our church. I don't know. I really don't know why God led me to necessarily preach and teach on this, but just put it in your pocket. Maybe we'll need it someday, right? If you don't need it tonight. But it says in Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's all the world. The world wants to compare themselves to everyone, right? Because that's their measure of success. You know, if I can have more income than that person, I'm a success. Or if I can have a higher position than that person, that's not the way we measure things. You know, Jesus answered that quite often, and it's all kind of related in there. James and John and wanting to sit on Jesus' right hand, and you know, wasn't it Mama that come and said, you know, how about my son sitting on the right hand? You moms kind of understand that. You want the best for your kids. But Jesus, you know, responded basically by that. That's not the way we do things. Jesus even says himself, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life around. So Jesus is servant. He said, the greatest among you will be servant of all, right? So it's related to this envy idea. You know, don't be set back there saying pity, throwing yourself a pity party. I wish I could do that. You know, whatever. How come preacher didn't ask me to do that? How come this didn't help? You know, well, just sit back. Just be thankful we've got people to do it. And be thankful for what God has given you. And remember, we're here to serve. Amen? One more verse, Galatians 5:26. Romans 13:13 and 14. Galatians 5:26. Galatians 5:26. It's the last verse we're going to look at tonight, I think. Galatians 5:26. Galatians 5:26. Remember, we're looking at the point number four. This is not having envy and jealousy in our hearts and lives is a command. It says, let us not be desirous of vainglory. You know, it's not. Do you realize that there's no such thing as a big shot in the service of God? Really, they're not a big shot. The only big shot is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, right? He's the big shot. We're just little shots being used by God. And it says, let us not be desirous of vainglory. You know, hey, everybody look. You know, hey, look, everybody. Can everybody see how gifted? I mean, that's why some singers, some preachers, some, you know, and then we're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be, boy, God gifted me in this area, or God helped me in this area, or thank the Lord he's using me in this area, or whatever, right? It's never, you know, desirous of vainglory. Provoking one another, there it is, envying one another. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So, tonight, envy, to feel uneasy or discontent with the excellence or success of others. Very similar to the idea of jealousy. I really couldn't tell much difference in Scripture, in the Greek and the Hebrew. We look tonight at envy in particular. That's the word we use. It's serious, serious, serious. We looked at examples. Thirdly, we looked at it should be history in our lives. It should have been before we were saved, maybe. Or maybe when we were immature, but when we mature in Christ, we shouldn't be jealous of other people. We ought to just be thankful that we know them and God's using them. And lastly, this is not something to brush over either. God commands us not to have envy and jealousy in our hearts and lives. Let's leave that to the world, okay? Let's let them handle that part and be consumed with the envy and jealousy. But we as Christians, don't envy people that are lost, that have so many things that you might want. Now, that's not always easy. Remember that show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? And, you know, some people, I'm sure, watch that. I don't think I ever watched that much. I don't think at all. But some people watch it. It's like, wow, I'd like to have a pool like that. Well, I'd like to have a bowling alley in my house. I'd like to, you know, you got to be careful. Because with all those things, I don't think you'd want most of these people's lives, because they're a mess. Just be happy and content with what God has given to you and how God has gifted you. And don't look around and say, well, they can sing better than I can. Just remember, appreciate people for their giftedness, but don't park there. Because if you park there too long and get resentful and envy and become jealous, it can really, really be destructive. Right? And remember, it even led to the, humanly speaking, to the crucifixion of Jesus. This jealousy and envy. Serious stuff.